We continue our series in 1 Samuel. Our scripture reading this evening comes from 1 Samuel 1. We're going to start at verse 21 and then continue to verse 11, chapter 2. Our focus is going to be on Hannah's song, but we'll start at verse 21 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. There we read, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.' And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word.' So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.' So they worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.' Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening, as I mentioned, we're continuing through our short little mini-series on the beginning chapters of the first book of Samuel. As we talked about this morning, Hannah was in a very difficult situation. But in her distress, she called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayer. He showed his favor to her by giving her a son. The son wasn't just any son. The son would be the one who ushered in the kingdom of David. And this boy Samuel plays a very important role in redemptive history. We left off this morning with the birth of Samuel. And as we continue, let's look at the rest of the narrative of Samuel's early life. If we remember, Hannah made a vow to the Lord. If he gave her a son, she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord for all the days of his life. After Samuel's birth, Elkanah and his family once again prepare for their annual 1,700-kilometer journey from Ramah to Shiloh to worship the Lord at the tabernacle. But this time, Hannah doesn't go with her husband. She stays behind. And the phrase at the beginning of verse 22, "Hannah did not go up," is a bit puzzling. Is Hannah going back on her vow? Is Hannah ignoring the promise she made to God that she would give Samuel over to his service forever? Does Hannah say, "Thanks, God, but I love this child too much to give him up"? Well, the answer to this question becomes quite clear in what follows. "I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." Hannah actually had every intention of fulfilling her vow, but her child was still nursing and the journey was long. It wouldn't have been easy for a nursing mother to travel that great distance with a young child. Elkanah, her loving husband, understood this and supports his beloved wife in her decision. He says to her, "Do what seems best for you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Now the phrase here, "let the Lord establish his word," can actually be translated, "only let the Lord establish your word." It seems to fit better with the story. Elkanah supports his wife in her decision to stay behind, and also reminds Hannah of her vow. But Elkanah also believed that it was the Lord who would allow Hannah to fulfill it. So some years go by. How many we're not told. Some say 2 or 3. Some say 4 or 5. But at any rate, Hannah believes the time has now come for her to fulfill her vow and bring Samuel to Shiloh. On their journey, they bring what they need and some things for the sacrifice. Now, what's interesting here is the gratitude that Hannah has toward the Lord. This is really the focus of our passage here this evening. Hannah's gratitude really manifests itself in 3 ways. The first is the nature of the sacrifice that she brought with her to Shiloh. She, with Elkanah, brought 3 bulls for the sacrifice, when much smaller animals would have been acceptable. 3 bulls goes above and beyond what was required, and this speaks to the overwhelming gratitude she felt toward God for the child that he had given to her. The second way she expresses her gratitude is found in what she says to Eli. Look at what she says to him in verses 27 to 28. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Now the profound nature of Hannah's statement here doesn't really come out as much in the English. Hannah uses the same Hebrew word 4 times here. This Hebrew word is the word for ask or petition. Literally, Hannah's words can be translated, "The Lord has granted me my petition, which I petitioned him. Therefore, I have petitioned him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be petitioned to the Lord." Basically, Hannah is saying here, in the same way that the Lord has answered me, I will answer to the Lord. This Hebrew word is also the same word from which Samuel received his name. Samuel is the son Hannah petitioned for. There's actually more going on here than just this. Later on in the book of Samuel, the people of Israel will ask or petition for a king. The Lord gives them King Saul. Saul's name also comes from this Hebrew word, and Saul's name literally means asked for. The reason I bring this up is because it becomes quite clear throughout King Saul's reign that Samuel was really the leader of Israel, not Saul. While Saul was the one who was asked for and Israel's king, Samuel becomes the spiritual leader of Israel and their spiritual guide, even when they had an earthly king. So Hannah's wordplay here really looks forward to the prophetic role that Samuel would play in redemptive history. Now, Hannah could not have known this in full measure, but she knew that her beloved asked-for son was special in some way. But here's where the story becomes very interesting. You would think that a woman who was once barren would have immeasurable grief at the prospect of giving her son away at the tabernacle. I'm sure for most parents here, myself included, it's difficult to say goodbye to your children from time to time. Think of when you drop them off at college for a year or a friend's house for the weekend. Saying goodbye to loved ones is never easy, even when you know you're very likely to see them at the end of the day or at the end of the week. But Hannah is overcome with gratitude and joy when she comes to Shiloh to drop Samuel off. Now, is Hannah rejecting her role as mother by leaving Samuel and Shiloh with Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, these apathetic and wicked men? Seems like Hannah is a poor moral example for mothers everywhere. But this isn't the point of our passage here this evening. It's not the point of our passage because Hannah's situation and Samuel's calling were incredibly unique. The focus is not on Hannah as a mother, but on Hannah as a grateful child of God. Hannah, who earlier was overcome with grief, is now overcome with gratitude because God has shown immeasurable favor to her. And her gratitude is beautifully expressed in this psalm in chapter 2, the 3rd way that she shows her gratitude to God. This prayer is going to be our main focus this evening. This prayer is really a prophetic song. So let's look at Hannah's prayer with this theme. In her gratitude, Hannah praises the Lord for three things: who He is, what He's done, and what He will do. So as we look at how, in her gratitude, Hannah praises the Lord, we see first that Hannah praises God for who He is. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. This song very much functions like a psalm. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Hannah looks to God before she considers what God has given. Her eyes move immediately past the gift she had received, and they focus on the one who gave it. She was once weak and barren, but the Lord, her horn and her strength, has given her a child. For this reason, her focus isn't chiefly on Samuel, but on God. We see this in her massive gift for the sacrifice, and also how she speaks to Eli. But it comes out even more in her words here. Hannah had a very high view of God. She knew that God was the creator and sustainer of all things, but she also believed that God was incredibly close to His people, and that He delights to show favor to them. What's more, the phrase translated, "I smile at my enemies," literally says, "My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." It's a cool Hebrew phrase. Because Hannah has been so richly blessed, her mouth must open wider to give thanks to the Lord. Hannah praises God for who He is, a God who blesses, and a God who shows favor to His people. Congregation, it's easy to forget the Lord when we see all the things with which we've been blessed. It's easy to focus on the stuff that we have and ignore the one who gave it. Because of our pride, it's much harder to focus on the God who gave us these blessings. Oftentimes, we want to take credit for what we have. But the blessings we all have come from God's fatherly hand. We need to recognize that they're all a gift of grace and favor. Think of the blessings in your life. Children, your loving, godly parents are gifts from God. Parents, your beautiful children are gifts from God. Our jobs, our homes, our money, our families, our friends, we go on and on. It's all gifts from God. Hannah was not given a son because she deserved it, or because she prayed some special prayer. Hannah understood that Samuel was a gift of God's grace. Likewise, the son that we have received from God is a gift of grace as well. He is the greatest gift, a priceless treasure. We haven't earned God's favor. Both the salvation and the faith we have in Jesus is a gracious gift of God. God has given us His Son, and we ought to praise Him for this. God delights in bestowing blessings upon His people. Our God is a God of grace, love, and mercy. We ought to praise Him for who He is. But now, where do we learn about who this God is? A.W. Tozer says that what we think about God is the most important thing about us. We have this tendency to create our own ideas of who God is, but these ideas come from fallible, sinful hearts. We often hear people refer to God as the man upstairs. But those who speak in this way clearly don't know who God is, but what He's done. So we need to let go of our desire to create our own ideas about God, because the truth about who God is comes from His Word. We can only know God if He tells us who He is. He has revealed Himself to us on the pages of Scripture. The Bible tells us who God is. We see His power in creation, and His creation should direct us to His Word, because it's there we read of who He is and what He's done. It's absolutely wrong to make conclusions about God. Those conclusions don't come from Scripture. Hannah believed that God was who He said He was, and it was this knowledge that causes her to express gratitude to Him. But Hannah's prayer continues in verses 2 to 3. And she praises the Lord for four aspects of His character. First, Hannah praises God for His holiness. She says in the first part of verse 2, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you." God was Hannah's strength, because there was no one like Him. Israel's God, Hannah's God, our God, is beyond compare. Holy means set apart. And when we speak of God as holy, we mean that there is nothing like him in heaven or on earth. Second, Hannah praises God for his mighty power. In the second half of verse 2, she says, "Nor is there any rock like our God." A rock is a symbol of power, something that cannot be shaken and something that cannot be moved. Drive through the Rockies and you'll see pretty quickly why these words are related: rock, might, and power. Third, Hannah praises God for his omniscience. Now, children, when we say God is omniscient, it means he knows everything. He's all-knowing. Hannah says in verse 3, "Talk no more so proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge." Because God is holy and powerful, any attempt to raise ourselves higher than we should be destroyed by the understanding of who God is. Pride is such a deadly sin because it elevates us to a point and a position that only God can occupy. Pride is a kind of idolatry. Not only that, but because God is the God of knowledge, he knows all our thoughts. So if we have any thought of pride and self-reliance, or if we pat ourselves on the back for the gifts that God has given to us, as if we earn them ourselves, we must remember that God is fully aware of these sinful thoughts. And finally, Hannah praises God for his justice. And by him, actions are weighed. God looks at what man does and acts accordingly. And the following verses really expand on these ideas when Hannah goes on to praise God in her song for what he does or what he has done. As we consider how in her gratitude Hannah praises God, we see that she praises him for what he does. Look with me at verses 4 to 5. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble." These verses really show how great our God is and how great his works are. Because of who he is, God acts accordingly. The holy, powerful, all-knowing, and just God looks down on the afflicted and acts on their behalf. Those who stumbled are given renewed strength. Those who are hungry have been fed. Those who are barren have been given children. This is the God to whom Hannah prays, the God about whom she sings, and the God that she worships. Hannah praises the Lord here because he delivers his people. Israel's history is full of God's redemption and deliverance. Hannah would have known these stories about God's faithfulness in saving his people. Not only that, but do you remember Hannah's pitiable situation in chapter 1? She was a broken, barren, hurting woman. She wouldn't eat, she wouldn't smile, and her heart was grieved with unspeakable grief. But now the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator who shows favor, has answered her request, and she can sing his praises once again. She has been girded with strength, she has been fed, and she has borne a son that was worth 7 sons to her. Her joy in what God has done for her is incredible. Because what God has done for her is also incredible. We do need to be careful here. Hannah's prayer doesn't teach some reversal of fortune or some arbitrary change of circumstances. God is a powerful God who acts to bless his people, and a God who works for the good of those who love him. But this doesn't mean that our lives become easy when we accept Jesus or when we pray to him. And Hannah really shows this in the following verses. She continues in verses 6 to 8. "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory." God looks upon the afflicted and acts, but the Lord also gives and takes away. Hannah confesses here that both blessing and difficulty come from the Lord. We confess in Lord's Day 10, I referenced it this morning as well, that all things come to us not by chance, but from God's fatherly hand. This includes both the good and the bad. The reason God can do this is because he's the creator of the world, Hannah confesses this when she says, "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them." But congregation of Christ, this work of God is not random. God has a plan, a glorious plan, where he brings about salvation for his people, and a plan where he works in, with, through, and even sometimes in spite of his people, to usher in his glorious kingdom. Hannah understood that her previous pitiable situation was used by God to bring about a special child, and she praises him for what he does. But Hannah's words here also point ahead to the work of Jesus Christ. If we examine these words again, it becomes quite clear that they speak prophetically of Christ's incarnation. By the power of God, Christ died and was raised to life again. He was brought down to the grave, but he was brought up from it. Christ left the glory of heaven and became poor, but then ascended once again to sit with his Father in the throne room of heaven. Christ was brought low, but he was lifted up. These words of Hannah speak of Christ's incarnation, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Because of Christ's work, Hannah can say that she was once brought low, but has been lifted up. Because of what Christ has done, God, Christ, our great high priest, has inherited the throne of glory. Hebrews 10:12-14 says, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time wait until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." So believers in Christ, these words refer to us as well. Hannah's words here describe our spiritual state, but also the benefit of Christ's work on our behalf. We were dead in our sins, but through Christ, God has given us life. We were buried in the death of our sins, but God raised us up with Christ. We were poor, miserable sinners, but God has given us the Prince of Peace, and we will one day dwell with him in the riches of heavenly glory. All that God does is for our good, but ultimately for his glory. Like Hannah, we need to praise God for what he has done. But Hannah doesn't just praise God for who he is or what he's done. Congregation of Christ, as we look at how Hannah in her gratitude praises the Lord, we see thirdly that she praises him for what he will do. Let's read verses 9 to 10. "He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." I mentioned earlier that this prayer functions kind of like a psalm, but it's also so much more than this. This prayer of Hannah is the prototype for Mary's song in Luke 1:46-55. That's why those verses were our first scripture reading this evening. The two songs are incredibly similar. Not only that, but Zechariah's song after the birth of John the Baptist is also remarkably similar to Hannah's and Mary's. Remember that Samuel was foreshadowing John the Baptist. As Samuel ushered in the Davidic kingdom, so John prepared the way for Jesus' kingdom. Here's another way in which Hannah's song is not just a beautiful expression of who God is or what he has done, but also a prophetic and messianic song as well. As one commentator said, "The words of Hannah's song are not mere echoes of a past long gone. Hannah directs us to her Redeemer. As we listen to Hannah, we hear the voice of Jesus." This song is a prophecy of the coming kingdom of God. The key to this verse is the promise of a king at the end of verse 10. Now, no king has been asked for yet, but there's one on the horizon. And the song of Hannah looks ahead to the coming of David. Psalm 89 says, "I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him." Through David, a man after God's own heart, God would guard the feet of his saints. Through David, the warrior king, the wicked and Israel's enemies were silenced. No man prevailed over David by his own strength. God's adversaries were broken into pieces because the Lord was David's strength. God gave strength to his king and judged the nations by him. God exalted the strength of his anointed. Now, who was the strength of God's anointed? He's none other than God himself. God exalted himself through the reign of King David. But David didn't live forever, and David wasn't without sin. His earthly kingdom came to an end. But there's an even greater king about which Hannah speaks. This king guards the feet of his saints forever. He will forever silence the wicked. No man shall ever prevail against him. This king will break the adversaries of the Lord into pieces forever. From heaven, God thundered against his enemies by the work of this eternal king. Through this eternal king, God will judge the ends of the earth. God will give strength to him, and he will glorify himself through this king's reign. The identity of this king is obvious. It's our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, coming from David's line. David is the partial fulfillment of Hannah's prayer, but Christ is the total fulfillment of it. Hannah's prayer of praise points forward to all that Christ would accomplish and the salvation that he would bring. Because of who God is, what he's done, and what he will do, Hannah praises the Lord with an overflowing, gracious heart. Now, Samuel would go on to become Israel's prophet. Hannah's gratitude, all three aspects of it, point ahead to Samuel's special prophetic role and the prophetic role of Jesus Christ as well, the Messiah that God's people longed for. Samuel would anoint David as king over Israel. Hannah's gratitude points ahead to the Davidic kingdom that culminates with the kingship of Jesus. David's descendant, Jesus of Nazareth, would become our great high priest, who was sacrificed for our sins, but who would rise from the dead for our justification. And so, congregation, Hannah's gratitude points ahead to the priestly role of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And really, all three parts of Hannah's gratitude in our text this morning look ahead to Christ's threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. Listen to what we read in Lord's Day 12, questions and answers 31 and 32. Why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? Because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who fully reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our deliverance. Our only high priest, who has delivered us by the one sacrifice of his body, and who continually intercedes for us before the Father, and our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the deliverance he has won for us. But why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. Hannah's gratitude, all three ways in which she expresses it, looks forward to all that Christ will accomplish for both her and us, and ultimately for the glory of God. Jesus Christ is our great prophet, our only high priest, and our eternal king. God answered Hannah's prayer because of the work of Jesus. Because of the work of Jesus, we share in his anointing. So Hannah praised God for who he was, what he did, and what he will do. But she didn't fully witness the fulfillment of her prayer. But people of God, we have. Congregation of Christ, how much more should we praise our God? God has given us his Son. Our King, the King of Kings, has come. Our only high priest has done his work. Our only prophet and teacher has shown us what we need for salvation. We are God's chosen people, and Christ guards our feet by his Spirit because of all that he accomplished for us. Christ has silenced the wicked powers of this world by his death and resurrection. By Christ, God will judge the ends of the earth. Christ came in humble service, and God strengthened him for this task. He was oppressed, abused, mocked, crucified, and buried. But he rose, and he lives again. This has all been accomplished for us. What's more, God has been glorified by Christ's death and resurrection. But Christ is also coming back. The eternity of the new heavens and the new earth is coming again. Congregation, this Messiah has come, and God will complete his work of salvation when Christ returns. We stand on the foundation of Scripture's testimony of who God is, what He's done, and what He will do. Salvation has been accomplished by our gracious, loving, ever-faithful God. Christ has come. The birth of Samuel and the prayer of his mother look forward to all that Christ would come to accomplish. We must praise God for the gift of His Son. He showed favor to us, despite the fact that we are broken, sinful, and rebellious people. But God looked down in mercy and showered us with abundant blessings. When we stand before the throne of God, we appeal to the work of Jesus, our prophet, our priest, and our king. God gave Hannah a son, and God has given us His only begotten Son. Our mouths must open wider to praise the Lord for our prophet, priest, and king. Amen.